when I hear somebody saying, you know, a lot of people, they're after harmony, and you know how some people just get, especially siblings, they can sing and you can hear that harmony, but some of them do it for show and tell. I like to hear and feel the Holy Spirit when I hear somebody sing. And I know I can feel that in Marissa, and that song means a lot to me. If you have your Bible this morning, would you turn to Matthew 27? Matthew 27. I've taught this morning. I get up here and sing. I can only sing two or three songs. I lose my voice. I hope I can preach this morning. If I start losing it, Jeff, you'll just have to turn it up a little bit. Hopefully you won't have to do that. Matthew 27, I'm going to start with verses 27 through 31. I want to preach on the king's garments this morning, his robes. God will let me. Y'all pray for me. The king's garments. In Sunday school, it kind of started off on making decisions. How many of you got up this morning? I asked the Sunday school class, and I know some of you ladies, you probably put two dresses on or pantsuit or whatever before you decided what you were going to wear. Hard decision, wasn't it? When every day we get up, we should put on our robe of righteousness with God. You know, it's really, our decisions ought to be godly every day. From what we wear to how we speak, the things we say to people, the things we do, the things we watch, the things we partake in, everything, every decision we make, we ought to be thinking about the holy God that sent his son to die for us. I want to look at his dressing this morning, what he was wearing. And I said it this morning, when he was born, he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. And I never thought about it this way, but those were the clothes of death. Can you imagine that little baby? How beautiful. And the glow that must have been coming from the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, as he's laid in a, people call it a manger, I call it a hog trough. That's where our Savior was laying. In the clothes of death. He came here to die for me and you. And we raise our kids, and you know how little girls are, and young men too, when they're growing up, and they want to put on these clothes and go to school. And how many times you look at your daughter and say, nope, go right back in there and find you something else. You ever done that? And I tell you, there's a better way of doing that, and that's from the time they're here. If we can show them more of this, you know, and get more of this ingrained in their hearts to where they'll be burdened about the way they look to be pleasing to God. I'm not here to preach on what you're wearing this morning. I'm here to tell you about what Christ wore and how it relates to what we should be wearing in a spiritual sense. The Bible says, and we'll start with, if you can this morning, please stand as I read these four verses of Scripture in reverence for God's Word this morning. The Bible says, verse 27 to 31, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. They stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed a knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. I want you to pay attention to that last little part there, that last verse. It says they took the robe off of him, from him, and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning, God, for Jesus. I thank you, God, for the cross that my Savior paid my debt on. And I pray for your presence, God, in your house this morning. Every heart, every soul, God, that we'd examine ourselves. What kind of raiment are we wearing this morning? I want to thank you, God, for the mercy of humility and forgiveness and grace and mercy, God, that you bestowed on all those that would accept it. I thank you so much, God, for just allowing me to be here, to stand here for my brother in Christ. God, a man that gave his whole life nearly, God, for the preacher word. Help us, God, to fill his spot in his absence. I pray for a healing hand on him, God, that it would be amazing that you would be glorified, God, in his healing. I pray for all those that are hurting this morning, all those, God, that the biggest prayer that we can ask is that one of the lost, God, that you might reveal yourself unto them. God, that they can see this raiment, that they can understand what it meant for that shed blood on Calvary's cross. And they might know you. Help us, Lord, to preach this morning. Let us preach in a power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And God, I pray for your drawing. I have felt your presence already. God, I pray it's overwhelming. I pray for the sick. I pray for the afflicted. I pray for young men that need comfort in their heart, God. Those that are attacked with demons, God, I pray that you would shun those demons and run them off the cliff again. I know that it won't happen, God, if we don't ask. I pray for a lost and dying world today, God, a world that sees the wrong things and misinterprets the scriptures, God, and hates your people. I pray for them, God. I love them. I want to see them saved. Help us, God. And we're going to ask all these things in your holy, sweet, and precious Son's name this morning. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. It started one morning. They call it Palm Sunday. And God sent a couple men to get an unbroken donkey, a white donkey, and he rode into town. I want you to picture this. And when he was riding into town on this donkey, they were laying their robes and palms in the street that he could run over. And when they were crying out, "Hosanna, Hosanna, the King of the Jews," he, at that moment, he was their king. I mean, they were so engulfed with him, and everything seemed in perfection when you read that in the scriptures. Yet, just a little time away, they would be screaming, "Crucify." His own people. I think about the world today when I think about what I just said. You got a side of, in this world today, they can't see the truth. And the king that they want is the very king that nobody in their right mind would really want, but they're screaming for that. They had rather believe a lie than to believe the truth. I mean, you see people on the news anymore, They're just it's propaganda left and right, and nobody knows right from wrong anymore. There's some good people out there all over the country that maybe I'm not saying they're dumb or anything like that, but they may be all out, you know, in the vast countries and places where they don't get very good education or anything like that. That don't make them idiots or anything. They just don't know because they haven't learned anything, and they believe this stuff. You these people can't see right from wrong. The same way that they were looking at Jesus, they were looking for this king to come, and he was going to overthrow Roman rule. He was going to take over, and the Jewish nation was going to become the king of people, and they would have it all. That's what they were thinking. They wasn't thinking about this the king of the Jews going to a bloody cross. They wasn't thinking about that. And he was wearing, when he was on this donkey, his own vesture, and it was a seamless inner garment robe without seam. You know what that really means? If you sew something together, that's the weakest part of that garment. His garment was without seam, perfection. It was a priestly garment, okay? That's what a priest would wear, a garment without seam, perfection. And these people were looking at him and praising him. And then when he came to do what he was sent here to do, to pay the price for our sins, they handed him over. Crucify him. Crucify. I wonder how many times we get up in a day and don't even realize it. And some of us do things and we don't realize it, but we put ourselves in the same shoes they were. We watch things we shouldn't watch. We say things we shouldn't say. We judge people when we shouldn't judge. You see, the Bible is a mystery to most man because most man try to read it like a book. This ain't a book. This is 66 books of perfection. And the only way you can see it is through blood. The only way you can read it is through blood. I want to read you a little bit of something about this garment. In Ezekiel 44, starts about verse 17, it says, "And it shall come to pass that when they enter in at the gates of the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments. No wool shall come upon them while they minister in the gates of the inner court and within. They shall have linen bonnets upon their heads and shall have breeches upon their loins, and they shall gird themselves with anything that shall not gird themselves with anything that shall cause sweat." I thought about that scripture a little bit. You remember over there when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden and some of the curses? What did it say about what man will do? Man will earn his keep from now on with the sweat of his brow. Sweat represents sin. God was wearing this, Jesus Christ was wearing this garment that was perfection. He was perfection. But they were looking at him in the wrong light. I wonder sometimes when we get up in the morning, are we looking at God in the wrong light? When we put on our clothes every day, when we say things every day, when we talk to people, do we have the right garment on? You have to ask yourself this question. But just in a few short days, the same crowd that was crying out, "Hosanna, Hosanna, King of the Jews," were spurred by religious jealots, and they changed that crowd into a crowd of mongers. They changed the whole scene. Does that picture reveal anything to you today? You've got this crowd on national television and the media that's run by a lot of religious zealots. I can't say that word good. Zealots, is that it? There you go. Thank you, Mama. I'm like Brother Charlie. I just say what I think it's supposed to say, word sound like. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, it's happening all over again. And the only people that can see truth are the people of God, bought and paid for in the price of blood, because their faith looked at Jesus Christ on the cross and said, I want that. And sometimes we say we want that, and then when God saves us, we're still out in left field sometimes. You need to stay on course. When God saves us, it should change everything. Now, there's a lot of accounts for what God was reading in the Bible. I don't want to get off course here, so that's why I wrote all my notes. And Mark said that it was a purple robe. Luke said it was a gorgeous robe. John said it was a purple robe, had a deep, deep scarlet color with a red hue. So when we read the first part of the scripture, it said they stripped him and they put on him a scarlet robe. That was a robe of royalty. You remember back in the Bible when the children of Israel, because the world had them a king, they wanted a king. God says, I am your king. But that wasn't good enough. They had to have what the world had. And it's still that way today. God wants to be our king, but we'll put something in his place a lot of the time, won't we? In our decisions, we'll put something else in the place of God. And I promise you, if you're a child of God, you'll regret that decision. If I ever have to miss church, I always regret that. I got to have it. I need it. I need my fix. I need to hear Marissa sing her song. I need to hear Brother Charlie preach. I need to hear the Sunday school teacher. I preach through the week. I enjoy Sunday because I get to be preached to. And I pray, let him preach to me. But this Savior, they put a scarlet robe on our Savior. Now, he already had his righteous robe on, but they couldn't see it. They wanted to put something on there to mock him, so they put a robe of royalty on him. You think that they really understood what they were doing? No, they didn't. But there's going to come a day when there won't be any excuse. There's going to come a day of vengeance. We don't need to go there yet, but we're going to get there. Matthew, I chose the scripture here because it says more about Matthew's subject line was all about, hey folks, you're crucifying the wrong one. You are crucifying the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is the Messiah. But God's own people couldn't see who he was. And I'm starting to wonder today around some of the people that are in the church, are we really seeing the right one? I believe our conviction would be a lot deeper if we were looking at the right Savior. And maybe let the TV alone and some of this vulgar stuff that's out in the world, just shun it to the side and keep our eyes focused on him. You know, you can be a child of God and be out in left field, and when you look at God's Word, you're just like a lost and dying world out there sometimes. You're not looking at it the right way. You're not praying over it the right way, and God can't show you anything. We need to be like they were in the tabernacle over there. When they were doing stuff wrong, God, the cloud went way over here. God says, I can have no part with that. But when they got right with him, there wasn't a need that they had. It's the same way today. When you need something, if you have a need and you're in line with God, we got his word, we know what lines us up. When we're in line with God And we're looking at Jesus, the one on the donkey, and hollering, "Hosanna, Hosanna, the King of the Jews." We're in the we're on the right street. But I'm telling you, we live in a world today that are mocking God. They're mocking the same way they were right here. And they're not making him the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Sometimes I get ashamed. Sometimes I'm ashamed of myself because of what I see going on. How can a country in the Bible Belt, when every one of us has got, I don't know how many Bibles I got in my house. I use a lot of different study Bibles because they all have different outlines and things in them. Some good ones. I don't have anything that's not a King James Version. I don't have any New King James Versions in my house. I don't need none of that junk. And I'm sorry if I offend you, but you need to get the truth in your hands. Don't get something man's made dirty and got his stinking feet and walked in it. Amen. We need the truth. And if you can't understand the these and the thous, you need to pray over God's word. God reveals the scriptures. It's not made for man to interpret. God's the interpreter, the Holy Spirit. But Matthew, he explains this garment right here. He says, "And they stripped him, and they put on his scarlet robe, and they had plaited a crown of thorns. They put it upon his head." So here, this scarlet robe was a robe of mockery. It wasn't the robe that was intended for Christ. We need to look at our garment sometimes. Do you have the robe and the robe and the raiment that God put on you, or are you portraying something else? Because it's going to be hard to lead somebody to Jesus if you're wearing the wrong garment. We see, you remember, Luke called it a gorgeous robe. John said a purple robe. In another place in Luke, I think it was, they talked about when the prodigal son come home, they put on the best robe. The best robe is the one without sin. And you know what? The only one that can put that on you is Jesus Christ. Every time you go to the store, ladies, to put something else in that closet, I'm not, you know, it's not a bad thing to go buy a new dress. That's not what I'm saying. But I want you to think about what garment God wants on you. Men, next time you go to get that next pair of blue jeans or that next shirt, we need to think about what it is the garment that God wants us on to have on. How do we look before the men of this world? Does our posture and the way we look, does it look becoming to a righteous and holy King Jesus that bled and died and gave his whole heart and whole body and his blood and his water for our sins? Revelation 7:9 talks about a white robe, redeemed saints are clothed in. Who do you think pays for that? Revelation 19:7, the clean robe of rejoicing, the rejoicing bride of Christ wears to be presented to her bridegroom. You see, if you don't have this robe that's made without sin, you know over there where it talks about the saints, what are they going to be dressed in? White robes. And I'll guarantee you, every one of them white robes will be without sin. And we'll be on right horses. And if you've ever been in the military, the military probably made you fight, made you do things that for service to your country, we ain't going to have to fight. All the fighting's going to be done by God. You see, they call this the robe of royalty, the scarlet robe they put on him, but it was a robe of rejection. It was a robe of ridicule in this verse, or these few verses. That scarlet robe represented a lot of things, but it didn't represent anything that God wanted it to represent. He said in verse 29, and then they plaited a crown of thorns. They put it upon his head and the reed on the right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit on our Savior. They spit on him, and they took the reed represented royalty also, and they put one in his hand. Can you imagine the Son of God? And God even had to turn his back on his son and allow them to do all this because the son was going to become our payment for sin. And they spit on him and the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him and took the robe off of him, and they put his own raiment on him and led him to be crucified. In Revelation 19 and verse 13, it was the red robe of a ruling king leading his army. How many robes do we see now? We see a robe of royalty. We see a redeeming robe. We see a robe of rejection. They took him before Pilate. If you remember the story in the Bible, Pilate, he didn't want no part of this, so he sends him to Herod. Herod sends him, he didn't want no part of it, he sends him back to Pilate, and Pilate released him to his own. And he gave him a choice, because it was the time of Passover. They gave him a choice. They said, "I'll tell you what, we got this thief right there, this whoremonger named Barabbas, and we've got Jesus Christ right here, the man that healed made the blind see and healed the leper, made the lame walk, brought the dead back to life. Let's free him." See, Pilate was trying to get him off his hands. Yeah. He was going to get him off his hands. And they chose Barabbas. This country today cannot even vote the right way anymore. Because most of the nation, I hope I'm wrong, I really do. I hope that this nation comes together in God and looks at the Word of God when they vote, when they put their statement on a ballot, the choices our government makes. I hope they start looking at the real God. But I tell you what, when I watch the news and I see what people are saying and I see what they're doing, all I can hear, "Let's take Barabbas." Yeah. Yeah. What choices is people going to make? And I've read the whole book. I've read the back of Revelation. I know who wins. Yeah. But it just kills me to think that my grandchild, what she's going to see in the next few years. I don't know if I'll be around, but that grandchild is. I mean, if she stays healthy and everything, and there's no telling what that youngin' will see. Whose fault is that? People need to start saying something. People need to start doing something. We need to start crying out to Hosanna, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. What does it say over in the Chronicles? If my people, which are called by my name, if they cry out to me, if we get out on our knees and start praying, Bible says he'll heal the land. There's no reason that what I'm talking about has to happen in our lifetime. We live here in the Bible Belt. This little part, I tell you what I believe. I believe if all of Clay County got in one mind and one accord and they were all in Jesus Christ, I believe there's enough right here in this church to fix this country. I believe if these altars were used the way they were supposed to. I seen a jail one night, 43 men were in an altar, and there wasn't nobody else left out yonder. They were all right there with me, praying. And them was supposed to be the illegitimates of the county. And I see a lot of times the church, we'll have altar call, one, two, maybe three, I don't know. We certainly got a lot to pray about, don't we? But Matthew had a lot to, we can see a lot in the scripture about here about what was going on at this time. They chose Barabbas. They said, we have a king. His name is Caesar. They turned on their own that quick. And I'm afraid that we're seeing it again. So they stripped him and they beat him. They took a flagon, the cat of nine tails, and they drug that thing around his ribs, and they drug the meat and the flesh off of his sides. They beat that thorns down on his head, and the blood was all over him, and his own mother couldn't even recognize who he was. Yeah, we need to, preacher, I've heard that before. No, we'll never hear that enough. It needs to put us back where we need to be, in line with God. What do you think God the Father thinks when they don't remember what His Son done for them? What do you think God Himself thinks when you just kind of shun what His Son done? God didn't like having turned His back on His Son. And He don't like it when we turn our back on Him either. If you're a saved child of God today, you turn your back on Him, you're going to pay for that this walk of life. I'm tired of hearing them people think that I'm going to have to go pay diligence for my sin. I can't do that. God paid the price for my sin. That puts me in line with Him when I give Him His due diligence. When I pray to that God, the one that bled and died for me, that's the only way I have, the only avenue I have to God the Father is through Him. Let's look at Revelation just a minute. Turn over there to Revelation 19. And I saw heaven open, 19:11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. And he had the name written that no man knew but himself. And he was clothed in a vesture. That word vesture, same as robe, dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies were in heaven followed him with white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. You know what made that linen white and clean, folks? Blood. Reminds me of the woman with an issue of blood. You know what she thought? She thought, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, if I could just touch the blood, I'll be healed. You see, when God's vengeance takes on, and we're going to be watching in our linen robes on white horses. If you ain't never rode a horse, you're going to ride one. And with the Word of God, it's going to cut under. And the blood will be to the bridle of a horse. And it'll get so deep, the hem of God's garment, the hem of Jesus Christ on that white horse will be dipped in that blood. You understand what I'm saying? Vengeance belongs to Him. It ain't mine. And it's coming. There won't be an excuse for anybody that don't accept Christ today. This robe was paid for in the price of royal blood. And on his thigh will be written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's read it on 14. And the armies were in heaven, followed him on white horses, clothed in linen, and white and clean. And out of the mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it should smite the nations. And he shall rule with a rod of iron, and entreateth in winepress of the fierceness of wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture, and on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together for the supper of the great God. This is the battle of Armageddon. You know what? I hope everybody here is going to be there. I hope you understand. Everybody in here needs to understand what Christ done when they hung him on the cross. We didn't take his life. The last cry, one of the last cries is when he gave up the ghost. He had to give it up. He had to allow himself to die. But praise God, on the third day, he was rose again. He had that white linen robe back on, the robe of royalty, dipped in blood. When I say all that, what do you think about what you wear now when you get up in the morning? Tomorrow morning's Monday morning. Everybody's got to get up to work, go to work. I hope you think about this message in the morning. I hope you think about what you put on, what you look like. If you think I'm talking about your clothes, you're wrong. The first person you see tomorrow, who do you want them to see? You know what I pray? I pray somebody see God in me. I hope somebody can see a saved child that was saved by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I hope that maybe if they're lost and undone without Jesus Christ, that I can share what I know about him with them. When I do that, it tightens up the hem in my robe. The robe of righteousness. I think about this world the way I see it today. And when we talk about Jesus Christ and they call us religious zealots or zealots, whatever. You know, I know you hate it when one of your child says that, don't you? Whatever. Listen. God loved us so much, he gave it all for us. I don't understand for the life of me why people have such a hard time, but I do understand this. Ever since I was a little child, I'd watch my grandmother pray, and I understand now who she was praying for. And I'm so blessed to be brought up, raised in this Bible Belt right here. I was raised right over here in Marble. I went to church in a little church. Man, the preacher was Homer Wilson. Absolutely scared me to death. You didn't go into that. If you was a child back then and you went into his church, you went in there with reverence. You knew what was coming. Children can walk into church today, and I don't even know if they know what's coming. I don't know. You know, there's not a whole lot of reverence going on. Folks, we need to reverence who God is. We need to make this place holy. This building don't make itself holy. It's just a building. It's God's people that make it holy. I'm telling you, I have walked into places when I preached over here in Hiawassee, they had a camp meeting, and a man, you're talking about some men of God now, When you walked in there, you could feel the hair stand up on the back of your neck. And when you got behind the pulpit, every hair on your body was standing up. And preachers fill the pews. They's all preachers. They was congregation too, but I'm talking about, you know, 30, 40 preachers out here. And every one of them was poking you with a stick. That's the way it ought to feel when we come into the house of God. But, and it'll happen when we call on the Holy Spirit and when God's dealing with our hearts. Even the saved need to deal, let God deal with our heart every minute, every day. I want to ask you something this morning. What does your robe look like? Are you wearing a holy robe this morning? Did you come to church with it on? I'm talking about in a spiritual sense now. Did you come to church this morning with your spiritual robe on? I know God's just going to give it to us when he comes back and gets to church. But I like to think that I'm carrying mine with me. Y'all remember when you ladies know what it's like to get a new dress. You want to put it on and try it and wear it, don't you? You men get a new pair of blue jeans or a new pair of cowboy boots, something like that, and you can't wait to get them broke in and wear them. A lot of us that hunt, we like a good pair of hunting boots, something, can't wait to get them boots on, try them out. I'm telling you, you need to try out this righteous robe that God can only give. You put it on and you wear it all day. Nobody knows but you. But you can feel the presence of God when you got it on. You know what it is? It's faith. Right now, that's all it is. It's faith. And when that faith can be seen, you don't realize it. My son can bear witness with it. He's seen it before. You don't realize when you're wearing it, people can see it. They don't even know what it is, but they know it's there. I've experienced it. I get to experience it every time I walk into a jailhouse. When I walk in a jailhouse, God walks in. I'm not saying I'm God. I'm saying he's all in me and all around me. If everybody in the house was that way, we'd have a meeting in church. When we come through that door back there, if you got your robe on, things fixing to happen. I'm telling you, church, when the church gets right, when we line ourselves up with Hosanna, when we're screaming, he's the king, and we're doing it in the right way, we'll have church. They'll be meeting in the house. But we need to will ourselves to him. We need to quit paying attention to what the world's saying. Quit whining and carrying on about what's fixing to take place and keep our focus on him. Let's put him in the redeeming robe. Don't think about that scarlet robe right now. Think about the redeeming robe, the one without sin. The one you know that God's got set there for you. And I guarantee you, ladies, when you try this robe on, it will be perfect for you. You won't have to worry about wearing them things that... That's the best way I know to put that. It'll be perfect. You won't need that anymore. We need to put it on this morning. If you hadn't got it on, you can come down to the altar and you can try. There's a place down here you can try it on. Somebody come play something this morning. There's a lot more to this, but I don't have the time. I'm just going to ask you one simple question. Are you going to the wedding? Do you have your wedding garment? Preacher, what are you talking about? The Bible speaks of this robe all the way through the Bible. I'm going to give you 1-2 seconds to think. When was the first time this robe was worn? 2 seconds. You remember when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden? What did God do? They tried to cover themselves, didn't they? That wasn't going to work. They tried to make their own apron, and that's what the world's doing today. We're trying to make our own apron. God made them a robe of skins. The first blood was shed in the Old Testament. He came here in swaddling clothes. He talked about the robe and the ephod and all the things they had to put on to go in the tabernacle. The clothes are all the way through the Bible. You can go on and on and on studying about this linen cloth. It's unreal how much is in here about it. I'm asking you this morning, have you got yours? Have you got any oil in your lamp? You get that on Wednesday night. You get some on Sunday morning. You come back tonight to the, what we call that? Hobo dinner. Hobo soup. You come back tonight, we'll have just a little verse of scripture about eating with God and making sure everybody else has got something to eat. Let's all stand. Do you have your robe? Your robe may be spotted a little bit. You might need to come just clean it up a little bit. You might need a redeeming robe this morning. You may have been one of those that was wearing a scarlet robe. You may think you was ahead of the ball game, and you may think you're all this and all that, and maybe God showed you this morning that, no, I need my real robe on. When God looks at me, all I want Him to see is my Jesus. I don't want Him to see me. How about you? If God can see 1 ounce of you, that ain't going to work. You ain't got the right clothes on. He won't take a bad garment. He won't take a garment with a spot on it. Has to be as white as snow all over, head to toe, toe to fingernail, spotless. Do you have that robe this morning? That's all I'm going to ask. If you don't, we can find it in an altar. You come this morning.